The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No one knows, well, I guess God does, maybe Joel does, but nobody alive today knows when Joel was written. They've got it narrowed down to about 500 years. Because he doesn't make reference to it. He talks about a locust invasion. And in Joel, we have this surprising use of the term, the day of the Lord, which other prophets used in reference to God's coming to deliver us, the Israelites. He's coming to deliver us. And Joel now is saying the day of the Lord is darkness. And it's not just an image, it's also literally there's millions of locusts in the air darkening the sky. When you see them coming, it's darkness. And what he says is that's the approaching day of the Lord. Now, there's a couple things in here that's hard for us to understand. One is this idea of a group of people being judged. We're Americans. We see everything in terms of me. You know, did I do it? Am I responsible? But he's saying God is judging an entire nation. All right, so that's one thing that we have to keep in mind. This is not about whether they go to heaven or hell. This is about on earth right now. You and I live in a time where there's lots of darkness, lots of threat. And so this brings us to a second thing, which is not going to be popular. There's a story about a man named Abraham who had visitors. And they're on their way to determine whether or not Sodom and Gomorrah were going to be destroyed. And if you may recall, Abraham is the guy who says, well, what if there's 50 righteous men? Then he got 45. He got them down to 10. He got them down to 10. And God said, if there are 10 righteous men in that city, I will spare it. Many years ago, I ran for president of my college. The election came out a tie. And a guy came up to me later and said, it's my fault you didn't win. I didn't vote. I just assumed you were going to win. And the next day, I lost. I was happy because I really wanted to do something else. I didn't want to be president. One guy, decided not to vote, and it changed history. So here's what I want you. I mean, this is hard. This is why we do what we do. I don't care how many people in Collierville are praying. I don't care what they're doing. What I care about, what we're doing. Because literally, there may be a dividing line, and we don't want to fall one person short. One person short. That's not what we want. St. Paul says, we entreat you, we beg you, in the name of Christ, be reconciled to God. What Joel is talking about is a nation being reconciled to God. What Paul is talking about is you and I being reconciled to God. He quotes from Isaiah 49:8, and if you read all of that, that's what he's talking about. And what he says is, what Isaiah's talking about back then, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. This day. And for each one of us, along with advocating and praying on behalf of the world, on behalf of our nation, you and I gather to be reconciled with God. The words of Joel were not heeded. The words of Paul were not heeded. We continue to live in a world that's in unreconciled relationship to God. And you and I continue to live in a world that has not turned its mind and heart to God. As much as I'd like to change our nation or the church or this parish, I've learned in the last 67 years, I can't even get myself turned around. That sometimes is more than I can handle. And that's why every year God gives us this gift of spring, this gift of Lent. So what's Lent about? Well, Jesus nails it. And let's clear up one thing. The word hypocrite is a Greek word. And once again, they just translated into English. And so now hypocrite's a technical term meaning someone who talks one way and acts another. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about hypocrites. He's talking about performers. People in plays. Performers. People like me. Performers. People who live their whole life doing things to see what the response from other people are. People like you who live their whole life doing things to get responses from people. What Jesus is saying is God will give you what you want. If what you want is other people to think highly of you, to think well of you, to clap for you, to talk about what an awesome guy or awesome gal you are, he says that's what you'll get. God will honor your desire and give you what you want. But what he says is, I recommend this instead. When you pray and you give alms and you fast, do it for God. Don't do it for other people, do it for God, because then you'll connect with God. And that's what we're called to do, to pray more, to fast more, and to give alms more. I know many of you clever people think Jesus said, pray fast. All right. Is anybody here praying too much? Is anybody saying, God, I'm just praying too much already. I can't. Have any of you been so generous with other people you have nothing left? Have any of you denied yourself so much that the doctor has told you you need to cut back on the fasting and start eating more rich foods? All of us have an opportunity today not to become, you know, St. Anthony of the Desert, but simply to become more intensely what we are called to be. Every year I try to give you one idea. Here's this year's idea. This psalm he sang, Psalm 103. I made a decision a few years ago to memorize it, and I did. And if my age you can memorize stuff, you kids could do this like that. Every day I pray this psalm, sometimes twice a day, sometimes three times a day. And for those of you who remember Barbara Jones, she did the same thing. She prayed this psalm every day. And here's why. Because you're talking about who God is. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It starts out with gratitude. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. He forgives your sin, he heals your infirmities, and he saves you from the pit. And every day in the back of my head, there's a voice that says, well, he forgives sins, but not yours. Because you just do the same things over and over again. You don't deserve forgiveness. He may heal infirmities, but not yours, because you deserve not to be healed. You deserve to be in the pit. Does anybody else hear that voice in the back of their head? That voice telling you what God's not going to do for you? And by praying that prayer every day, I hear over and over again how wonderful God is in all he does. And then, and Paula, you gave me this one, 18 years ago. 100 times every day, tell God thank you. There's a rabbi. You told me a rabbi. And I left her office and said, that's a dang good idea. I probably complain 100 times a day. I could at least balance it out. 100 times a day, you tell God thank you. Pray Psalm 103. Tell God you're thankful. Understand that your job is to be one of the righteous people who saves the world from the judgment it deserves. We are on a journey to Easter. But first, 40 days. 40 days in the desert. 40 days disciplining ourselves. 40 days blessing others. 40 days being the people of God more prayerfully, more gratefully, more kindly, less focused on ourselves, and more focused on him. So let the games begin.